Wow, dude. You've got your gain way high, don't you?
No. No, my ass is just that loud. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 33 for Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and that dude right there is Kent. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. What a long week. How is it only Wednesday?
It's only Wednesday. That's just it, man. It's not even a long week yet. Like, it's still becoming a long week. It's going to get longer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, man.
Well, good to know. Good to know. So you've been, we've both been out processing. You had a little bit of a panic attack over the weekend, thinking that your time in the Air Force was significantly shorter than it had been planned. Tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, well, that was Monday. It seems like it was much longer ago, but that was kind of the start of my super long week. I have this piece of paper that was given to me by finance that is basically a calculation of, with all of the leave that you have and the days that you get from the commander and whatnot, and it projects when your final day of work will be, so when you can start your terminal leave and, you know, just be done working. And I found out that they stopped giving these things out to people that are separating because of how wildly inaccurate they are. So I was like, crap.
Look,
all right,
look,
well,
seriously,
I guess
it's
better take a look.
It's not that difficult, though. It's not that difficult. I mean, it's pretty simple math.
Right. So, well, one would think.
Okay. for me and you, it's pretty simple math. It's not complicated. The worst thing about it is trying to figure out how much leave you have yet to accrue, but even that should be on your LES.
Exactly.
So,
I was like, all right, let me redo this math. So I took a look and added it all up, and I've got 111 days where I'm going to be on active duty status.
On the payroll.
On the
but
payroll.
Not working.
Full payroll. But not at work, which is badass.
Right. It's cashing in all of your accrued vacation time and stuff.
Yeah. So I did the math, backed up from 1 September, and I came up with a date that's next week when I'm projected for, you know, like 3 more weeks of work. I came up with a date that's next week. And yeah, I had a little mini panic attack thinking, oh my God, I'm not even close to being done out processing. So
That'd be awesome.
I started freaking out, and I didn't double check my math, which was my mistake. So I kind of...
No, instead you sent me the numbers.
Yeah. So yeah, I sent you and like two other people, Stephanie and Chuck, my flight chief coworker guy. And Chuck was like, oh my God, are you serious? Because he's taking leave next week. He's kind of counting on me to run the show while he's gone.
To be there?
Yeah. And but I told him, I was like, no, that would only be eating into my commander's days anyway. Don't worry. No matter what, I'll be here next week. I'll cover it. No problem. And I'd sent the numbers to you, and you pretty quickly responded to me like, no, dude. It's like 3 weeks away. So... I don't feel like breaking out a calendar again. So I just asked Siri. I was like, hey, Siri, what's 1 September? You know, what's September 1st minus 111 days? And she spit back the same date that you sent me. It's like, oh, okay. It's Siri verified now, so it's official.
Well, it's a good thing Siri verified my number because I was not sure of myself until that point.
Right, yeah, yeah. God bless you, Siri. As much crap as I talk to you and tell you how much you're stupid and how much I hate you, I actually really do love you, Siri.
So what you're saying is you have an abusive relationship with Siri.
Yeah, doesn't everyone?
You're trapped in a cycle of abuse with Siri.
You know what my goal is right now, actually? I just thought of this. Because when I listen to a podcast and somebody mentions Siri, because I listen on my phone will hear it and activate Siri. So I want to see how many times I can make people's phones go into Siri by saying things like, hey, Siri, and just see what happens.
So, the young and uninitiated.
So this is, yeah. Well, I mean,
you know what's going to happen. The only person affected by this is going to be you.
Yes, I know. I was just thinking that too.
On your re-listen on your way to work one morning.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
And you're going to pull over and curse yourself, probably smack yourself in the face about three times. Getting to work with a black eye, people are like, what's wrong with you? And you'd be like, hey, Siri.
Oh, man, that's so true. It's going to happen.
That's awesome.
Man,
that's awesome.
It is hot as hell in this room right now.
It's, we just had tornado weather go through, and it's been muggy all day, but now all the cold air has been blown away by this not cold air. And, it's not air conditioned in here, of course, being the garage, and holy shit, it is... It's pretty sweltering. I got more than my usual glare in my head here.
Yeah, yeah. Man, and what sucks is I gotta go up on the roof to activate
the
roof, whatever it's called.
I always call it the roof. But when people call it the rough,
not the rough, the roof.
Yeah, exactly. See,
it's different.
Yeah, there's like extra syllables in there,
or something. Yeah.
So there you go.
So anyway, I gotta get on top of my house. Let's say that.
Yeah.
To turn on my AC, because I have a swamp cooler and it's manual. It's not central air, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And we've been having hot weather and then cold weather and then hot weather and then cold weather. So I've been hesitant to go up there. My heat actually kicked on like 3 or 4 nights ago. Weird.
Nope. Really it just weird. Sucks here. But not much longer. Well, not for me anyway. The family's staying here, which sucks for them. But
yeah, so
whatever.
We told about my panic crazy week a little bit. What happened with your week?
I had actually a similar situation, not quite as panicked and not quite as urgent. I went through and was looking at all the stuff that I had crossed off my list of, you know, out processing items, you know, the 78 items or whatever it was. And going through there, I saw several of them were overdue and a few of them I had marked off that I wasn't sure I had done everything else. So I thought I was about 3 weeks behind and I've only got about a week and a half left.
Oh, geez.
So I went through and, you know, matched item for item my electronic checklist that I maintain on my phone and my computer versus the actual papers in my folder. Which if you saw the papers in my folder, you'd understand why I have an electronic version, because nobody wants to sort through that shit every time. And found out that I was actually ahead of where I was. So now literally the only out-processing I have left to do is a commander signature on my squadron out-processing list, picking up my medical records and dental records in the hospital, and my final out appointment.
Oh, that's nice.
So now I'm a week ahead of the schedule. So
that's a good feeling, especially coming off of a panic.
I was like, where is this paper? Oh my gosh, I've got this. And by the time I was done, like I had marked off twice the number of things that I thought I shouldn't have marked off. Mm. And it was all good to go. It's all uptight. I just, sloppy record keeping actually, but now it's all nice and organized and OCD'd out and everything else. So
nice.
Good to go.
Well, good.
Speaking of weather, though, we have had some crazy weather here. In fact, on Friday, we had flash floods. I had taken an airman of mine out to lunch with my wife to IHOP to reward her for getting the highest score on her EOC for, like, the entire quarter.
Oh, nice.
So out of, I want to say right around 30 people, maybe 25, but as many as 30 different airmen, she received the highest score of an 89%, which isn't the 90% everybody celebrates, but it's still higher than anybody else. The next highest would have been an 88, and after that it was like an 84 or something like that. So took her out to lunch, to IHOP, had a good lunch, good conversation, had some laughs. My wife talked a lot, which is what she does when she's in a situation. She has another person. She wants to know everything about them, so she talks her ass off, which is fine with me because I don't like being the grumpy asshole that just, hey, let's go to lunch so I can sit there and be bitchy. while we were there, it started hailing outside, thunderstorms, all that stuff. All the roads flooded. I got drenched going out to the truck to pull it around so my wife wouldn't have to walk that far. She gets in the truck, and the traffic's blocked in like three different ways, except for Clack Street, which is actually completely submerged, and there's a lot of traffic. So she's like, well, just go back through the back way around Target. And I go back through the back way around Target, and that road is completely submerged as well, but there's hardly any traffic on it. So I hop down on that. Of course, I'm in my Tundra, and hop down in there. I'm driving along, and maybe 200 feet down the road, there's a Jaguar that's got its front headlights and taillights completely submerged. The water's just rushing around the car. Long story short, or well, you know, long story not as short. My wife and I hop out. We get this Jaguar pushed up. He was completely stalled out, couldn't get out. He was too big to get out the window, and the water was too heavy to open the doors. So,
holy cow.
He was literally trapped in his car. It probably only would have been an hour before the water receded anyway, but meanwhile, we went ahead and pushed him up into the parking lot, into the dry area where he could get out of the car and his wife could come pick him up. So that was my Good Samaritan deed of the week.
Wow.
Well,
good job.
Tons of soccer on Saturday, more hail. My boy won the first place for the tournament, which is an untrophied tournament. Is what they call it. It's like a for fun tournament. But he and his team won first place in that. And then Sunday was basically recovery from being outside all day Saturday.
Wow. Okay. Good stuff.
So that was my week. Yeah. There you go.
Wow. Your week is more action packed than mine.
Well, I don't know. You've got big and things in your on your plate. Most of my big things are done. You're about ready to face a huge transition. I'm going through the same transition both of us have been through a few times before with slightly different circumstances. So, and one of us froze again.
Yep.
Your face is looking at the TV or at the screen like something's really wrong. You just flash back to the frozen face, and now it's back live again. This is going to be a fun podcast to edit. Congratulations.
I cannot wait. I might just leave it as is. It's all part of the fun.
Well,
because
so that was our weeks. Anything else you would like to add on the week that was?
The week that's still going? Oh my God. No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on to something else. Let's move on to TED Talks. I think it's time.
TED Talks. Let's see here. Hold on.
Yay, we have Sounders.
Huh? Come on, man. Awesome. We're doing bumpers now. This is what's up.
We're one step closer to being out of beta.
Well, welcome to beta 33.
All right.
TED Talks. My TED Talk I watched tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and hit on mine real quick because it's very easy to explain. Miru Kim. She's an underground... was an art student. She originally was in biology of some sort. She's going to be a doctor because anatomy intrigued her. She instead started taking photography of underground locations, forgotten places in different cities. She started with, I think, Boston and New York City, New York City actually, and then she's gone worldwide with it, down into the Paris catacombs. She shows several locations, but what she does is she says that she found these places and they were beautiful and they were majestic and they told a story, but they lacked life. So she wanted to have a consistent experience bringing life to these photographs, and the only consistent model that she would have was herself. So she started taking pictures of herself in these locations. But in order to make it a timeless experience and to make it to where so that cultural lines were not drawn to where it was just an ambiguous life, she went ahead and did them nude.
Okay.
And that's really all I can say about it. You need to go watch it. It shows some of her photography. It's not safe for work, but it's not lewd and crude. It's very, very, very classical in its depiction of nudity. These are pictures that I wouldn't mind my kids looking at, but I don't know that my boss would want me looking at them at work.
Right.
So it's that fine line. Beautiful pictures. She's got a great story, and it really made me want to look at more of her art and more of the story that she was telling with the art. And I thought it was very, very nice, and it was very cool. The story, the art, and then you put the two together, and it was really pretty cool.
Nice.
Quick and dirty.
Yeah, it's interesting that you chose a photographer. Mine was done by a photographer as well, a photojournalist, in fact. Bharat Ali Batur, or something along those lines. He's from Afghanistan.
Okay.
And he... Well, okay, so his family is from Afghanistan. He was born in Afghanistan, but they leave and they moved elsewhere. I don't remember where they went. I'm failing with that part. But anyway, so they go back to Afghanistan because after 9/11 and all that stuff, a couple years later, they move back and he's doing more photojournalism and stuff like that. And then it all kind of went downhill from there because the tribe that he is a member of was persecuted and he and his family became refugee. Well, you have to leave to become refugees. They, anyway, they were very oppressed, I guess. So they were trying to leave the country. They could only afford to send one of them out. So they chose him. And the idea was that he would leave, make some money, and then be able to get them out as well. Well, okay. It became a very harrowing experience. He had to basically become like human baggage among many other people. They had to be smuggled out, and all sorts of bad things happened. The boat that he was on was sinking, and they crashed on an island. And then I think it was the Indonesian, basically like their coast guard, like their water police or whatever, showed up and stole everything they had, and they were prisoners, and it was just bad stuff happened. And he was able to photograph the entire thing. Well, until everything up until he got to the island, because when he jumped out of the boat to swim ashore, he ended up dropping his camera and it broke. But he was able to save the SD card, the memory card, so that he had all the photos he had taken up to that point. It's very interesting. A little bit depressing, I guess, but it kind of has a happy ending because he's there on stage talking about it. So, yeah, it was interesting. The name of it is My Desperate Journey with a Human Smuggler. I definitely recommend this one. This is not only are his photographs beautiful and they tell a story, but he does a good job on stage telling his story. So
Very cool. And since I don't have a closer, we're just going to do this again. And that has been our TED Talks for the week.
Yep.
Speaking of stories, though, big news coming out of California this week.
In Anaheim, California, perhaps?
Yeah, huge news. Yeah. I didn't even know this was going on. It was a tertiary subject on my mind. It was there. It wasn't necessarily in the ether, but it was not something I was even in the forefront of my consciousness.
Yeah, Star Wars Celebration happened.
The Star Wars Celebration. This would be the 28th? No, let me do my math here. 38th?
I don't even know. It's a lot, though.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, this was a big one because...
The 38th.
The main reason is because the new Star Wars movie, Episode 7, is coming out later this year. So it was, heavy promo mode for Lucasfilm and Disney for getting the word out on this movie. Not that they really need it, but the hype machine is in full force now.
Yeah, you know what we need force. To do? We need to increase the visibility of this movie that we've been working on. I wonder how many people actually, probably nobody even knows it's coming out. It's not coming out until December. We really need to get started on this now. Or nobody's going to want to watch it.
Right. Except for everybody.
Well, there is everybody. Or everyone? Everybody?
Everybody.
We never got an answer on that, did we?
Not a definitive answer.
Yeah, we need to work on that. So...
So the second, right. They released the second teaser. That was on day one of,
yes.
of the convention. Yeah, so teaser number two is out there, and oh my God. Did you watch it?
I did. You have it loaded up, don't you?
I did.
You did. This is while we're still in beta.
Yeah, would you like me to play it?
Yeah, if you've got it loaded.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah, just to set it up a little bit, the first trailer came out, a couple months ago, I guess. And, of course, everyone geeked out about it. No. It was around Thanksgiving time. I remember because we spoke about it during our Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
So it was back in November.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, everybody geeked out about it. But then a lot of people had some nerd bitches about it. But, oh, I don't like the lightsaber, right? This is stupid. Why is the stormtrooper black? And just all this just fucking troll shit.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a single troll thing about this thing.
No.
This thing is just universally fucking awesome.
All right, you got it queued up. You ready?
Here we go.
Now, this since we're commenting on this, this should be fair use. Plus, it's free publicity. So.
Yeah, and this is I'm playing it from YouTube, so
I don't mean shit.
That's true. All right, so we see the speeder in the desert, and there's the X-wing crashed in the foreground, and then a Star Destroyer crashed in the background.
The Force is strong in my family.
Familiar voice of Luke Skywalker? The burnt mask of Darth Vader?
My father has it.
See, can you pause it? Pause it right there. Pause it right there.
I have it.
Pause it right there.
Yeah.
First thing, my father has it.
Present tense.
Like,
yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, well, the whole damn internet did. But yeah, that was my first like, wait. There's more to this than what we're all assuming.
Yeah. But I wonder that with every bit of speculation, first of all, is this line even in the movie? And even if it is or it isn't, whatever, are we just inferring too much?
Well, I don't know, because it is clearly the voice of Mark Hamill.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
It's distinctly Mark Hamill's voice. We know what character he played. We know what character he plays.
Yeah. And the thing is, this is almost a direct quote from Return of the Jedi. It's re-recorded. This is a modern recording. The cadence is completely different than what it was in Return of the Jedi. The words are in a different order. He adds a line in there, but it's the same lines for the most part. So
it doesn't have to be in the movie though. It's still in the spirit of the tale we know and love.
Right. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
So continue on.
My sister has it. You have that power too.
Okay, pause it again. There it is. Okay, so now we know. We don't know who he's speaking to.
It's someone in his family, though.
It could be.
I think it is, because he says that the Force is strong in my family. My father has it, I have it, my sister has it, and you have it.
Yes, that would be the implication, but I'm not going to hold on. That's one of those nuggets that I don't want to assume.
No, you know? I'm assuming because he preambles it with the Force is strong in my family. Mm-hmm. And then goes on to list family members to include you.
So then who could he be talking about then? Because we already know the Zahn trilogy is gone, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So,
I mean,
so what were the names of the kids in that one?
Well, the Solo kids were Jason and Jaina.
Yeah, Jason and Jaina. So those would have been Leia's kids, Leia and Han's kids. And then in that book, Luke didn't have any children.
Right. Not yet.
Well, he had not had any children at the time.
Right. Not at that point.
So those kids seemingly don't exist. They're no longer canon. They are now an extra story about a possibility that could have happened in one imagining of some story somewhere.
Right. And, you know, and it's possible that they will take elements of the story. They might reuse names or they, you know, something like that, but it's not going to be the same story. That's all we know for sure.
So, and you're thinking it's definitely someone in Luke's lineage.
Absolutely.
So are you thinking it's his children, or do you think it's Leia's children with Han?
That I have no idea. That's a 50-50 toss-up for me.
I don't even think it's 50-50. I think if he's talking about the kids, it's got to still be Han and Leia's kids.
Hmm.
They just make a natural... They're the couple. They're the couple that survived. They made it through, you know, the incestuous kiss and everything else. They're the couple that made it through. So it's got to be their kids. Kids.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's Luke and Leia's kid.
I don't think it went that incestuous.
Well, we don't know what happened.
I know they only told us about the kiss, but I don't think there was much more to it than that.
Oh, God. I hope that's not
the case. Okay. Roll tape.
Okay, so lots of stormtroopers. There's some sort of, I guess, a Sith Lord, or at least some dark, you know, dark side of the Force wielder, because he's got the red lightsaber and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, looks incredibly badass.
Oh, and by the way, since we're not recording have fun like matching this audio up once you go to produce all this together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have to rip the audio off the YouTube stream and fade it in and out. It's going to be fun times for you. In the original trilogy, it had a common sense of sound. Towards the end of the, you know, towards episode 6, the sounds were more defined. They were crisper. You could tell that the production quality of the sounds themselves, the lightsabers being, you know, being fired up, the phasers being shot, the engines on the Starcraft, everything else, things got crisper, but they stayed consistent. And I didn't feel that consistency when they went to the trilogy, their prequels, episode 1, 2, and 3. It felt different to me. It felt like it wasn't the same. It was off a different palette of music.
I understand what you're saying.
This one here, I mean, the first trailer, it had a lot of the same sounds, but it didn't quite have enough there to really substantiate it. Listening to this one, especially only listening to it, you can key in. They're using the same sounds, the same palette of music, the same tones, the same, you know, frequencies or whatever, however, blah, 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 sound, audio, blah, blah, blah. It's the same shit.
Yeah, it definitely feels more in keeping with the original trilogy versus the prequels.
Right.
In pretty much every way.
Yeah, that alone excites me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, you know, lots more things blowing up, lots of running around, action. There's a lot of close-ups. There's not a whole lot of whenever you see a character, it's a lot of, like, up close. You can't tell really who you're seeing. You're seeing a hand. You're seeing an arm.
Right.
Some of the faces you're seeing up close, but you it's not panned out where you can see the setting.
Right. It doesn't put anything in context.
Exactly. And right now we're seeing the Millennium Falcon flying away from some TIE fighters that are shooting at it. And coming up here in a second is my favorite thing about it.
Chewie, we're home.
Take my money. Take all of my money.
Can we just like set up an allotment? Let me just start paying now so that you can eventually have all my money?
Just tell me what your routing number is so that my paychecks can just be directly deposited.
Yep.
I'm sold, yep, man. I'm done. That's it. Chewie, we're home. That's it. I'm done. Just take all of my money.
Yeah. Yeah, the familiar growl, Harrison Ford And if you watch the video, you can see as much as Harrison Ford didn't want to do these movies.
Yeah, well, I think he changed his mind over the last couple of years because he used to be very anti-Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because people were trying to typecast him. Whenever he'd get interviewed, he wanted to talk about his new films, but all people wanted to talk about was, hey, you're Han Solo, or even Indiana Jones, for that matter. You're Han Solo. You're Indiana Jones. Tell us about this.
Right.
It's like, motherfucker, I made that movie like 8 years ago. Like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to talk about Mosquito Coast.
Patriot Games.
Or, yeah, Mosquito Coast, horrible example, but... but yeah, so he was really soured on the Star Wars movies, and he didn't want anything to do with any sequels.
Right.
But he's lightened up quite a bit from that attitude in recent years.
He definitely has that Han Indy smile to him in that scene.
Oh, absolutely. And reason I brought up the focused close-up shots of the characters is because this was a little bit different. This was a full-out, like almost full-body view of Han and Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit of a pause, and then Han says his line. And then, you know, then Chewie roars, and it was triumphant. And it was very much like, hey, this is us. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
It was, man, it still gives me a chill up my spine.
Like Scott Johnson said on Twitter, I'm 8.
Yes. That's exactly what he said. Oh, man.
So, yeah. So much coolness. So much coolness. All right. So enough about the teaser trailer. Rogue One.
Yeah. Do you know about this? Have you heard of this?
Let me make sure I got this correct. This is the patch in between episode 6 and 7, right?
This is going to be okay because they're making 7, 8, and 9, but yes, they're also making 3 other movies that are like standalone one shots that are
right.
Not
they're, in,
be
they're I don't want to say independent, but they're
called, well, they've named the series now. They're calling it Anthology. So
right.
These are the Star Wars Anthology films.
It's basically filling in the empty space and creating a more diverse and accessible universe for Star Wars to exist in.
Right. Taking some of the minor characters and plot points and focusing on them. So you won't see Han and Leia or Anakin even, or anybody that we know. Well, you might see somebody that you know, but it's going to be more of a minor character or perhaps a cameo from one of the major characters. But
right.
It's not going to be the focus.
It'll be tie-ins, but it won't be the main story.
Yeah, so also at Star Wars Celebration, I want to say this was on day 3, they showed a teaser clip for Rogue One that has not exactly been made public, not officially. However, as it goes with things like this, somebody had a cell phone and recorded the teaser, if you even want to call it that, because it's kind of a... I mean, it is a teaser, but they haven't started filming yet. So this is just something
it's almost
together.
More of a proof of concept.
Yeah,
like
basically.
A video proof of concept.
Sets the tone sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you happen to watch this?
I did not. I heard a little bit about it, but I did not get a chance to watch it.
Okay. Well, I can go ahead and play this one as well. And this one's a lot shorter than the Force Awakens teaser. The majority of this is just audio. I mean, there is video, but there's not a whole lot to say about it. Most of it is audio, just setting the tone for what this movie is going to be about, or
the series, the anthology.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I don't know. We don't know anything at this point about the other anthology films. We don't know if they're going to be connected in any way, you know, with characters or situations. We don't know. My understanding is that they're going to be one shots.
Now, are these going to be live action, or are they going to be CGI?
As far as I know, they're live action.
My understanding was, just from hearing what I heard, that they were going to be CGI, but I could be completely wrong on that. So,
if that's the case, that's new to me.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Go ahead and play the cut.
The site is just being slow. So here we go. This is, you hear background noise from the crowd that was at the celebration.
For more than 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the old Republic. Before the dark times, before the Empire.
So, what you can gather, I think, from just the audio, this is going to be a much darker look at the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah. I definitely get that feeling.
Yeah. So, obviously, it was the voiceover from Obi-Wan Kenobi from episode one. Episode four, the first Star Wars movie.
Right.
So, basically, all you see in the video.
Alec Guinness.
Basically, all you see is there's a forest, and the camera is moving forward. It's kind of like an aerial shot moving over a forest, possibly a rainforest, and you're sort of seeing a forest canyon perhaps, and a TIE fighter flies up out of it and flies off into the distance. The camera continues to move forward. And comes to a clearing, and when you enter the clearing, you see in the sky the outline of the Death Star looming very large in the sky.
Right.
And that's it. That's all you see. And then they flash the title screen of Rogue One.
Now the storyline is supposed to be basically the story of the rebels getting the plans for the Death Star that Luke eventually uses to destroy the first Death Star.
Correct. Yeah, it takes place, I want to say, 4 years prior to episode four, A New Hope.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, someone.
That sounds about right.
I heard someone refer to it as episode 3.8. So yeah, that sounds about right.
How about episode 4-0.2?
That's just confusing.
There's connotations there I'm trying to avoid if you haven't got it.
Understood.
So, okay. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
Much Star Wars.
Yeah. They showed a trailer for Battlefront, the new Battlefront game that's coming out. Did you ever play any of the original Battlefront games?
I not the Star Wars one.
Yeah. Well,
Battlefield. I'm thinking Battlefield all the time. Battlefront. I played one of them, and I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah. I used to have a PSP. And that was one of my favorite games, was Battlefront. So much fun. It's really hard to tell from the trailer if we're seeing any actual gameplay, because it all looks very cinematic. It looks like cut scenes. It looks very beautiful. It looks amazing. But I don't know if we're seeing gameplay. So it's kind of, I don't know. I know the game is going to be great because the old games were awesome. The new one's just got it. It's got to be better, right?
Right. If that was the only
it's going to look good at the very least. So I don't know. I might pick it up. I'm looking forward to it. Looks really cool. Have you watched Rebels, the new animated series?
You lost me animated series.
Okay. You never watched any of the Clone Wars or anything?
None of them. I haven't watched any animated series beyond like the first episode of Arkham.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going back to like 94.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Well, I loved the Clone Wars. I've seen every episode of the Clone Wars. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And they are still canon, right? Those are the ones that are still canon.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure I'm up to speed, being the three-quarter Star Wars nerd that I am.
Right. So Rebels is the new show. Well, not super new anymore. They've already completed season one, and I hadn't seen any of it at all because it's not available on Netflix or Hulu or anything that I subscribe to. Not available. But it is on Amazon Prime, but you got to buy it. So I was kind of waiting, dragging my feet. Okay, fine. The first episode was released as kind of a mini movie. It's called Spark of Rebellion is what they call it. And it's kind of like a mini movie that also serves as the first episode of the series. It costs $5 on Amazon Prime.
Okay. The one episode.
The one episode.
Okay.
So I debated. Do I want? I really want to watch it. It's $5, dude. Like, really? Why am I debating about $5? Screw it. So I went ahead and bought it, downloaded it, and it's really cool. I like it. I've only seen the one episode. It's $20 for the whole season, minus Spark of Rebellion.
So it's $25 overall, but you've already paid $5 for the first episode.
Right.
Holy shit.
Like, so
that math is ridiculous. That's a hell of a price of entry.
Yeah. It. I don't know. The show is really cool, but that's not really what I want to talk about in regards to this.
I've got a debate going
in my own head about media formats. And we're frozen.
The internets hate thee.
One of us froze, and I missed probably everything you said except for about two syllables.
I said the internets hate thee.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm with you. This is going to be a fun episode to edit.
It's a good thing we double end these things.
Right. Okay. So anyway, what I really want to talk about.
This is why the internet's still in beta.
Right? And it probably always will be. Just like this show. So what I really want to talk about is not the show itself. I want to talk about media formats because I'm torn. I'm really, really torn. Do I buy things on Blu-ray like I have traditionally done, DVD or Blu-ray? Or do I go ahead and go with this digital download stuff like with Amazon Prime?
Right.
There's... you know, there's pros and cons to both, and I don't know which one is better at this point, which one is more advantageous. Because I'd really like to cut down on the crap that I have in my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree completely.
There's a giant desire, a great appeal to me to having everything in a digital format where I don't have to have, like what the MP3 did for music. Where I don't have to lug around a big flip folder full of discs. Everything is right there in my iPod or my phone.
Right.
Or just in the cloud. You know, that's amazing.
I honestly don't think this is going to be solved anytime soon. There are too many formats that are competing. And I'm not talking about actual audio codecs or video codecs. I'm just talking about the ecosystems in which they exist. iTunes versus Vudu versus Amazon Prime versus, you know, whatever else is out there. The Ultraviolet, of course, Ultraviolet and Vudu are kind of the same thing now.
Yeah.
Kind of. I don't have anything on Amazon Prime. You know, I don't have any Amazon streaming movies that I've purchased. I do have several iTunes movies that I've acquired via free downloads when a DVD or Blu-ray was purchased.
Right.
And the same with my Vudu or Ultraviolet collection. There is some cross compatibility or cross contamination between those two. Like certain movies have had, you could get both if you did it quick enough. So I had that. I'm really not placing my bets anywhere. And honestly, I really just go with whatever's cheapest. The only appeal to me having a physical copy anymore is that my 2-year-old can throw it in the machine, and if it gets damaged or broken, I'm not all that heartbroken about it.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for resale value. You can't sell back a digital download.
Digital, right, which is why video games are going to that and everything else, so they can get rid of the aftermarket trade value.
Put GameStop out of business.
Right, because somebody's making money off their games besides them. But all they're doing by doing that is opening up more room for piracy. So it's double-edged sword. They're going to die either way.
Right.
But yeah, I really wish there was a common standard. And one of the things that gets me is just accessibility of the standard. I can get Vudu, which is ultraviolet. I can get iTunes, and I can get Amazon Prime all on my phone. But I can only get one of those on my Apple TV.
Right. Yes.
What the fuck? Like, just give me the things. Give me all the things. There's things out there, and I have things to do things with things. Just give me the things, and let me do the things with the things that I purchased.
Exactly.
Just give me the things.
Yes, that.
You want to end piracy? Give me the things. Stop trying to fucking wall garden my media, and just give me the things so I can watch this stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
God damn, it pisses me off.
One of the other problems.
If you want to make the money off of me, sell it a dollar cheaper than anybody else.
Right?
Like, I'm not that difficult of a fucking customer. But I want everything available everywhere.
Yeah. So Stephanie and I the other day were talking about this, and we're kind of trying to make a list of pros and cons, more or less. And one of the things that she had brought up was internet connection. You know, for me to watch A Spark of Rebellion again, I have to have an internet connection. And my counter to that was that, when do I not have internet? That's pretty
ubiquitous.
I'm sorry?
Ubiquitous.
Right. And yeah, okay, sure, it goes down once in a while, or you lose a signal or whatever. It happens. Okay. But overall, it's not a big deal. Well, we're watching the show, and probably about 15 minutes into the show, Amazon hiccups, or might have been the PlayStation that I was running it through. No, I think it was actually Amazon. Hiccuped, paused the movie, and took about 5 seconds for it to come back online and begin playing again. And it was kind of a case in point, like, huh, you might have an internet connection, but that doesn't mean that all of the points are talking to each other at the same speed all the time.
Right.
And there's some aggravation to that. And then when it does start playing again, it's all fuzzy and grainy for about 5 or 10 seconds before it fully buffers. And
no, I can honestly say that I have no idea what you're talking about with internet canceling out or cutting out or anything else. My stream is always perfect, and I never have connection issues, especially when I'm teleconferencing over VoIP or Skype or Hangouts or anything of the sort.
Yeah, never.
It's always perfect every single time.
Right, right.
Especially tonight.
So more cases in point.
Yes. And you're right. You know, and then you can always go to the subscription model where you pay for access, like Netflix, you pay for access to the things. Mm. Is that any better? Because it still relies on a internet connection. At least with iTunes, I can download it to my device and watch it later, but only if it's an Apple device.
Right.
Or, you know, a Windows computer, which, why would you be using one of those?
For Amazon Prime, you can download it to a Kindle Fire.
Right, but again...
Oh boy. Yeah.
So yeah, there's all that. And going right along with that, I made the tough decision to go ahead and get cable back again.
Ooh. So what do you call that when you reattach the cord?
Well, keep in mind, I never actually completely cut the cord because we had the little $5 package that gave us the basic cable, mm-hmm. even though nobody ever used it. Essentially, it comes down to, we are busting our caps every month because we have a cap here with Suddenlink, and I just found out we could have gone without a cap, but it's a business plan, and it gets complicated. There's contracts involved and shit.
Of course there is.
So if you're in Abilene, Texas, and you're just now starting service with Suddenlink, get the business plan. Just get the business plan. There's no caps. Get the business plan. It's the only one that makes sense. And it's actually better speeds for the dollar that you're getting on the residential plan anyway. It's completely stupid. Anyway, so we were spending $160 a month on cable or on the internet. Five of that was their cable, and half of that was overage fees.
Oh, wow.
So because we download so much, the kids are always on YouTube. We're always on Netflix and blah, blah, blah. So I went ahead and got cable. We got all the basic, all the channels we had before, plus a couple kids' channels because there's like a family tier because, they have to nickel and dime you a little bit more. So it's like $9. We end up with all the channels we had before plus some for less, for just a hair less we're currently paying now with our overages. Mm. Now, the key will be that now that I'm leaving and we're not doing this podcast from my home, my internet usage will be gone. So hopefully the rest of the family will supplement using less internet and watching more TV for their entertainment. And they'll have to just stay under the cap. Otherwise, we're losing money.
Right.
Yeah. But essentially, that's what it was. And along with that, I went ahead and asked how much HBO would be to add to my account because, Game of Thrones is on. There's all that other stuff. It would have been like $18.95 plus tax per month. So I went ahead and said, hell with it. And I signed up for HBO Now.
Right on.
I'm actually having a better experience with HBO Now than I usually do with Netflix. The streaming is quicker. I'm getting better quality streams. And I'm sure that's because there are more people on Netflix in my area than are on HBO Now. I'm not even pretending that HBO Now is a better service than Netflix. But and we pay for the second tier on Netflix. We pay for the four streams at a time on Netflix. So it's only a couple dollars more for the HBO Now. It's $14.95 or whatever paid through your iTunes account.
Right.
After the first free month or whatever. Yeah, I like it. I now can watch Bill Maher, and I love that show. So there's that.
Cool. I might be right behind you with HBO Now.
Yeah, and the sign up is literally simple. I went through my Apple TV. I clicked the icon. It said, "Do you want to sign up through your iTunes account, or would you like to use a different provider?" Initially, I went to a different provider. It wasn't something that was available in my area, so I just went ahead and back with the iTunes, selected yes again, acknowledged the terms of service, and I was in. And it was like, yeah, we'll just charge your iTunes account.
Nice.
So, done. I mean, it took literally less than 2 minutes for me to sign up through my Apple TV.
Very cool.
It was amazing. It was awesome.
Right on.
So, there's that. And it is everything that you'd hoped it would be. All the back shows, all the stuff, it's all there. It's all available to you.
Very nice.
Now, it doesn't go all the way back to like Comic Relief 1989 or nothing. I mean, it's not like...
But you can watch The Sopranos or Deadwood or...
Exactly.
Some of these Sopranos, shows.
Deadwood. Yep. All that stuff. Fights. All that kind of stuff. It's all there.
Nice.
So, most importantly, right now, Game of Thrones is all there.
Of course. Yeah. That's... Yeah.
So... Yeah. Which is... If you're not caught up to at least the first two episodes on that... You got to get on it, man.
I've seen
especially
nothing
having especially season. Having read the books. There are major departures that I know of, and I'm not even that far into the fourth book.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. There's one major departure, and it may be a story that ended up there anyway, but it wouldn't have been until much later in the books because the way that it's setting it up in the books, it would not have gone that direction that quickly. So.
Yeah. Well, last season they did something like that, and it ended up. By the end, you kind of caught up to where the show had jumped ahead to.
Right.
So, yeah, since I'm caught up on the books, I'm real interested now to watch these episodes and see what they did or didn't do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm probably right behind you with HBO Now, so maybe we'll see here shortly.
Yeah, it's pretty cool so far. I like it. I like it a lot. So.
I thought we froze again. Holy crap.
No, I had a thought and it just completely escaped me. I had a dead air brain fart moment. Like I was going to say something and it went away because I was trying to do two things at one time. So jumping back to Star Wars real quick, one of the voices on Star Wars is iconic. He's been in 10 million things. But you notice, I played already.
Getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah. James Earl Jones.
The voice of Darth Vader, of course.
The voice of Darth Vader. The voice of Mufasa. He's been in many movies in his own right, but his voice is iconic.
Absolutely.
I was flipping through, and the poem The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe is probably my favorite poem of all time. Mm-hmm. I love how it's dark. I love how it alludes to the inner turmoil of someone who misses something and may have even had a certain part of responsibility of taking that something away. I really enjoy the oratory aspect of it, the flow of the words, the cadence, how it rhymes, how it's set, how just everything about the poem is amazing to me. And then you top that off with the fact that when it was initially published, people called it junk.
Right.
You know, and here it is 100 years later, and it's a masterpiece. It's a defining moment in a very dark and twisted career of literature. Well, I wanted to hear, because I say it in my head a certain way. When I read it, I read it a certain way. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own cadence that the whole poem goes with. So I wanted to find other examples of it. And I came up with The Raven read by James Earl Jones. And I'm going to skip to the middle of it because the first couple, first bit of it is just isn't, it doesn't quite capture. But once he gets into the middle of it, it's so amazing to hear him read this. So here we go.
No craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before.
So there's that, man. I'm just... Like, if you're a fan of James Earl Jones or you're a fan of Edgar Allan Poe, you owe it to your ears to listen to this entire oratory. It's just shy of 8 minutes long. It's amazing the whole way through.
And this is on YouTube?
This is on YouTube.
Holy crap. Like,
yeah, that's something
I would buy that.
Exactly. I don't know why, you know, because like I said last week, I surf YouTube and I find random stuff to look at. You know, last week it was a goat orgy. This week, it's a fucking oral orgasm. I mean, it is amazing to hear him read this poem.
Yeah, this is quite a bit classier than the goats from last week.
Yeah, and there are a couple others. There's a read by Christopher Walken.
Oh, get it out of here!
Yeah, I wasn't as
oh, tell me somebody it. Curated a playlist.
Oh, I don't know, probably not. There's one by Christopher Lee, which was all right, but is I don't know. James Earl Jones was the one that really got me. Really, as I was listening to it, I got the tingles in the back of the neck, and it really put me into the.
His voice.
Oh, this one's got like sound effects. That's why it was such a distraction.
Which one is that?
This is the Christopher Walken one.
Oh.
See?
Yeah, skip to the middle.
Vainly, I had sought to borrow from my book Surcease of Sorrow. Sorrow for the lost Lenore.
Yeah, not nearly as good.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the sound, the background sounds and the guitar and all that other shit, it distracts so from it. Yeah, yep. No. The James Earl Jones one is just pure and it's just amazing. Now there's others. There's Vincent Price. There's Aaron Quinn. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Wow. You know, there are a lot of them. But the James Earl Jones one, man, it hits you.
What about Morgan Freeman? Is there a Morgan Freeman?
Not that I saw. No, he's got another very, very good voice.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one. Maybe this one doesn't have all the...
Entreating entrance at my chamber door.
No. Still crap.
Yep. But yeah, there you go, man. This random shit on YouTube for the week is amazing.
Sweet. I'm absolutely going to check that out.
I need a bumper for that, for random shit on the internet.
Yeah. YouTube poop. Actually, I think that's already a channel name or something.
See, there we go. So there's that. You know, I thought that was pretty good, and I'll put those links. Of course, they'll be in the show notes. I'll put the James Earl Jones one in there, and you can find the Christopher Walken and all everything else. Because once you put that one, the first one in there, all the others are right there on the sidebar. I mean,
yeah.
If you can't find them, you don't need to be using YouTube. I just insulted somebody, and I have no qualms about it. So there's that. And speaking of words and how you say things, something came to my attention, and I don't think I've ever said anything about it on the show, and I want to because it just pisses me right the fuck off.
Okay.
Really, really kills me. There's certain words in the English language that make no fucking sense.
Okay.
None. Zero. Unmentionable. Motherfucker, you just talked about it. You just mentioned it.
Right.
Okay. Seriously. Unspeakable. Then why the fuck are you talking about it right now?
Yeah.
Stop. You just said that you cannot continue the current conversation. That's what you just said. How about nondescript? Nondescript is an adjective. By definition, you were describing the thing you just said was undescribable or indescribable, which is another word.
Yeah.
Indescribable. Yeah. Another adjective, by definition, describing something. These four words, and I know there's a couple others, but I couldn't think of them and put them in the show notes. These four words, I understand the necessity to have something to this effect in the English language. I do not understand the necessity to use them.
When I hear words like indescribable, I hear inadequately describable or something along those lines. Like the words that we have are not adequate to properly describe this thing. That's what I hear.
On, I believe it's page 175 of Dragons of Autumn Twilight in the original paperback version.
Yes, Dragonlance book one.
Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman go through the process of describing what Riverwind looked like after a particularly traumatic event.
Yes.
And it starts out with, what remained of Riverwind no longer resembled anything human.
Mm-hmm.
If you can describe what remains of a human body after an acid bath, I don't think there are many situations in which unmentionable, unspeakable, nondescript, and indescribable need to be used. In seventh grade, my teacher would not allow us, my English teacher would not allow us to use the word get or got. Those words were not allowed to be used in class, in the hallway, or in any kind of paper or anything else that we turned in for any of our classes that year.
Interesting. I think it was 7th grade or 8th grade, one of those for me, where the word like was outlawed.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can see that point as well. Mm-hmm. But we have so many words in English language. There are words to take the place of the generic words we use as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
But these four words are, in their themselves, they're idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
They counter-define themselves. And it just pisses me off, especially when they're used in official correspondence, whether it's government correspondence, Air Force correspondence, like a media statement.
Oh, man. Yeah, don't get me started on Air Force correspondence.
So I just wanted to take the chance for our listeners and our viewers. If these words go to escape your mind via your mouth or your hand, stop. Fucking stop. There are other ways to say whatever it is you intend not to say by putting these words in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing... All right, I'm just going to air it. Using the word myself when you really mean me. Like, I want you to contact me. That's the way you fucking say it. Not, I want you to contact myself. I'm the only one that can do anything to myself. And you are the only one that can do anything to yourself. And he is the only one that can do anything to himself.
This has just become an episode of Grammar Girl.
Yes. God damn! I really like Grammar Girl a lot.
Yeah, I know it's pretty awesome.
Every time
I have a question about the English language, I go there first.
I get pissed when I read an email and it says, "If you have any questions, you can contact myself at." No, I can't.
Okay, since we're on this whole subject, very respectfully, got it. V/R, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you don't have the time, if you can't take the time to type very respectfully, you obviously aren't being very respectful, let alone the fact that it's usually in your fucking signature line, which is programmed in. You only have to type in once and it just magically appears. Like...
I don't put any closing in my signatures. It's my name and my contact info. My name, my unit, my contact info. That's it.
If I do...
If I want to close, I type it myself. Like a
thank exactly,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if I want to say very respectfully, I will type it out.
Exactly. It is, for me, it is either regards. Like regards.
Right.
You know, au revoir. Or it is an actual subject or an actual sentence that adds to the message and closes it out properly. Like, I can be contacted for any further questions.
Oh, not contact myself?
No, I don't. No, the only people that contact myself are me and my.
Oh, my God.
And another thing is who and whom. Now that I know the difference... It pisses me off when people don't. And I almost wish I was re-ignorant about it. Like, if I could just forget that aspect of language.
Yes.
Because so many people use them incorrectly. It just pisses me off. And then you go with there, and there. That's basic shit. If you can't get that right. But yet there are fucking staff sergeants that get that shit wrong in official correspondence that they've actually spent time and... You know, mentally concentrated on the presentation of.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It pisses me off. But what it really comes down to is I wish I was better at grammar.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm 38 fucking years old, man, and I'm still learning shit. Like, I just learned the difference between who and whom.
Right.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, that's like the difference between IE and EG. I had to constantly... relearn that, and I don't know, probably 2-3 years ago.
IE is what an example, and EG is
no other way around.
Is the other way around?
Yeah, IE is like in other words, EG is like for example.
Gotcha. See, I I'm not going to remember that until it comes time to actually do it, and then I have to do the research myself, and then it'll be burnt in forever.
Yeah, I had to keep relearning it over and over and over and over until, like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago when I learned it. I think it was Grammar Girl. It stuck. Ever since then.
Yeah.
I've not forgotten it since.
That's where I got Whom and Whom.
Yeah.
Or Who and Whom.
Yeah. I think I listened to that.
Okay, so big shout out to Grammar Girl. We're going to throw her shouts. She's amazing. I don't even know what her real name is. She just goes by Grammar Girl. Yep,
no idea.
And she has a way of breaking down shit into ways that simpletons like you and myself can understand.
Oh, crap. Yes. Yes, all of those wonderful things.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So all right, man. Costa Rica. Yeah, well, tell me about
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, they're finding all kinds of new frogs down there.
Costa Rica. Okay.
Yeah, frogs. Different species of glass frogs.
Okay. Those are the shiny green ones, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Have you read anything about this in the last couple of days?
No.
Man.
Because I don't pay attention to science. It's too confusing for me.
Yeah, well.
Until it happens on IFL, it's not actual science anyway.
That is true. That's very true.
But for those who don't know, IFL is, I fucking love science.
Yeah.
And it's this chick that just loves science, and she's been putting shit out, and she's... She turned it from a Facebook page into an actual website, and she's actually making money at it now. So more power to her.
Yep, it's good stuff.
That's a true geek right there.
Yeah, so wow, okay, that was weird.
Radio brain fart like I had earlier. Like it was totally there, did. And right as you went to say something, it just stopped, and I'm sitting there looking at you like, do I fill in? Do I wait? What's going on here? Now the science is awkward. If I say anything, then I'm disrupting his thoughts again. Yeah. Welcome to beta.
Yeah, that's why we're still in beta.
Exactly. So,
anyway, so I saw a headline, something about a real Kermit the Frog. I was like, what? That just seems weird. I like clicking on weird links. Mm. So I clicked this one. And this is actually really cool.
I surf goat orgies on YouTube, and you click weird links. Got it.
Yeah, I find Kermit the Frog. So they discovered a species of glass frog in Costa Rica that looks exactly like Kermit the Frog.
Okay, now I've got to click the link.
Yes.
Jerk.
You better do that. I grew up looking at Kermit the Frog thinking, this fucking puppet barely looks like a frog. This is not what frogs look like. Well, it just turns out that we haven't discovered Kermit until very recently.
Oh, this is a BGR link.
Yeah. Oh, and it's all over the interwebs now. It's all the major media outlets are covering it. All of the little... I haven't seen it on IFL, but it might be on there.
Let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and show this on the screen so that our viewers can share along. There it is right there.
I need to figure out how to do that in Hangouts.
It's pretty easy. So, yeah, there's Kermit the Frog right there.
Yep. Hey-ho.
And yeah, that looks an awful lot like Kermit the Frog. The eyes, the color of green, the shading, the formation of the mouth and everything else, yeah, that looks an awful lot like
Kermit. The bulging eyes, yeah.
Yep.
I wish they would have named it something like Kermitus the Frogus or something.
Right.
But the dude named it after
Glacius Kermitus.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But the dude named it after his mother.
Like, oh, what a retard,
you dick!
Like, you could have done something for society, you selfish asshole.
Yeah, you could have named one of the other species you found after your mother, but no.
Right.
You had the name Kermit.
And what mom wants a fucking frog named after him anyway? Like, my mom would be like, yay, it's a frog, you douche. You know, maybe that's just my mom. I don't know. All right. Oh, so cool, man. Looking frog. We'll put that link in the show notes as well. Yeah that's just pretty cool.
That wasn't a big topic that, but man, that just struck me so much. I had to mention it. I mentioned it just so that I could put it in the show notes.
That's very cool. All right. So last thing we want to talk about tonight is Chet Page.
Yeah, do you know who he is?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, our friends over at Night Attack, Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young.
Friends, loosely said.
Right. Yeah. like our friends at Amazon. You know,
it's almost,
all relative.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't listening to Night Attack, if you're listening to us and you're not listening to Night Attack,
there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. They're a much better show than we are.
they're a different show than we are, but they are, that's high quality entertainment right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go listen to Night Attack. Man, we're just going to pimp out everyone today.
Right.
Yeah, throw the little diamond club up there.
Throwing up the diamonds.
Crooked diamonds. What's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. We're gonna have a bunch of links in there. We're gonna have to pimp this out. But yeah, the Diamond Club and Justin Robert Young, Brian Brushwood, and Night Attack Tuesday nights.
Right. Yeah. And they have a community of chat realm because they have a live chat and they have a very, very loyal, like militantly loyal following. That's called Chat Realm.
They're going to take to the streets if anybody tries to shut them down.
Right?
Fucking Austin's going down.
Yeah, and Chat Realm is awesome. They're extremely creative. They're like I said, dedicated. They're loyal. Anything that Jury or Schwood say online or they ask a question like, I wonder what this is, somebody in Chat Realm has it up like within 5 seconds.
Right.
If they ask for a straw poll, there's a straw poll. 5 seconds later. It's amazing. These guys are great. Well, anyway, they created a book called The Journey. And it's a self-help book it's crowdsourced from Chat Realm. And it's by a guy named Chet Page that may or may not be a real person. Considering I just told you that it was crowdsourced by Chat Realm, draw your own conclusion. However, so Diamond Club, or
this is what I get for being behind on my podcast.
Yeah. So Diamond Club, which is the community,
the Night Attack community,
right? And all the associated acts. Tom Merritt is part of Diamond Club. Yeah. So anyway,
Veronica Belmont.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So, Diamond Club had a book. I think it was actually called The Diamond Club. It was an erotic fiction book that was also crowdsourced by Chat Realm.
Mm-hmm.
That their whole goal with this book was to put it online as an ebook and see if they can't get to number one on the what is it even called? Romance novels, I guess, is the term used in bookstores for erotic fiction.
Right.
Well, this is basically, you know, written porn is basically what it is. Anyway, they were very successful with that. So they decided to do it again this year with self-help. Yeah. I think it's like number two or number three right now on the self-help charts. It was released yesterday. And I went ahead and bought a copy, and I encourage everyone else to do so. It's only 99 cents. It's freaking hilarious because it's a self-help book that's written by this pompous, egotistical, rich white guy that has no idea
the struggle, but
he thinks he does, and he has it figured out, and he's offering his words to you.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. It's only 99 cents. It's available on iTunes in an iBook format, and it's also on Amazon in the Kindle format. We're going to have links to both those. Check it out. The great thing about this is all proceeds are going to charity.
Very cool.
I wish I would have wrote this down. I don't know the name of the charity, but it's an organization that feeds the hungry. Oh, it's a what is it? Something Heifer. Where they'll buy a cow or a goat or something for someone in a village to feed them. Because, you know, if you just bought them meat, that feeds them for a few meals or whatever.
Right.
You buy them a cow, now you have a continuous source And that's what they do. It's something heavy. Just go to the links. You can see the stuff there. All the proceeds go to charity. It's really freaking cool.
Very cool.
And you get something funny and enjoyable, and you can learn a little bit about Chat Realm and the Diamond Club, and it's really cool. Highly encourage everyone to go.
Learn something about the struggle of white privilege. All right. Oh, all man. Right. Man, this has been one hell of a show, man.
It has.
I honestly didn't know where it was going about halfway through, and I'm glad we kept going because it's been pretty fucking funny. little. Oh, shit. All right. Keep in mind, anytime that you want to support our show, you can just go to richmisery.com, click on the Amazon banner, just go buy your stuff. It doesn't cost you anything extra. We get a little kickback from Amazon. It all works out for everybody involved. Also, anytime you click on any of our links, if there's any way possible, we've monetized that in a way that would not cost you anything, but will kick back a small bit to us. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to cost you any money. We're not trying to do any of that. If you have extra money lying around, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com, Ritual Misery. You can go ahead and throw some money over there. That's directly helping us make this a better show. But other than that, we're not trying to obligate anybody to support us in any financial way. But you're going to shop on Amazon anyway. You might as well just click on that link and, you know, spend your money, and we'll get a little kick of it. So there you go.
Yep.
If nothing else, think of it as hurting Amazon.
Yeah. They don't make quite as much. And especially if you're going to make a gigantic purchase like Christmas time or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Click our link and then go to Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, share that around. Again, it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Cost you one extra click. That's it.
Yeah. Tonight we are drinking normal, irregular, everyday beers. I'm drinking the Dos Equis Amber. Kent over there is drinking the Sierra Nevada.
Yep, they're pale ale.
Pale ale.
Kind of my current go-to.
If you want to know his opinions on these beers that we're drinking, you can go over to ratebeer.com, look him up, a username Del Noche.
Yep.
And you can find him there. There's a link in the show notes. They can also find you on Twitter, can't they?
Yeah, at @rm_Del Noche.
Now, you've been getting a lot more involvement on Twitter, both with you and with the interactions that you're having with others. So it's actually getting, you've gone from no stream at all, no Twitter at all, to an actual involvement that's pretty cool. So
yeah, I'm getting into it.
Yep. I've been into it for several years, but I'm more into it now than ever. And I'm at Ethan Kane on Twitter. You can follow the show at Ritual Misery. You can submit ideas. If you have some crazy shit that we missed, or you have an opinion about something, you can head on over to our Reddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. Give us ideas of what you would like us to hear about or talk about. Or if you found something in particular that you'd like us to comment on, go ahead and throw it in there. You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can find us, of course, ritualmisery.com would be our home on the web. You can call and leave us a voicemail. That's going to be at 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Our theme music comes courtesy of Kevin McLeod, doing great stuff over on comptech.com. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.